Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, we have an exciting program with you today, and we're so excited that you're watching VFNTV across many platforms today. But we're going to be talking about Israel. You know, Israel's one of our pillars of our program, and we stand boldly and for Israel. And we're going to be talking about AIPAC, because AIPAC is meeting right now in Washington, D.C. And AIPAC stands for American Israel Public Affairs Committee. And it's an organization that works with government and both political parties, both Republicans and Democrats, to garner support for the nation of Israel. It's so important that our government stands behind the nation of Israel. It is the lone democracy in the Middle East. They're our friends, they're our allies. And I had a chance to be in Israel, and I can't tell you the overwhelming support that I was just receiving as an American, as I was interacting with the Israeli citizens, and they were telling me how much they care and support and love America. And there's many organizations that are rising up in the United States, Christian as well, that are standing for Israel. CUFI is one of them, Christians United for Israel. We're also going to be talking about in this program, Friends of IDF. And they are the friends that come together to support the Israeli defense soldiers that are fighting for Israel's, you know, safety each and every single day. But I want you to watch this video. Basically, it's an AIPAC 101 video describing what the organization is all about and what they're here to do. Watch this.
This is Israel. The Jewish state is in a dangerous neighborhood and under constant threat from rockets, terrorists, and those seeking its destruction. Israel relies on its ally America in order to confront all challenges it faces. And the best way to guarantee that the United States continues to stand by Israel is through bipartisan support in Congress. That is where AIPAC comes in. AIPAC is focused exclusively on strengthening the U.S.-Israel relationship. Because Israel's security is too important to risk only working with one party or the other, we work with both parties to ensure Democrats and Republicans come together to keep Israel safe. AIPAC members nationwide, which include Americans of all ages, faiths, and races, build personal ties with senators and representatives to ensure that we are effective in strengthening America and Israel. We influence American policy, not by rating or endorsing candidates, but by educating them. This ensures that no matter which party is in power, there is consensus that Israel's security is an American priority that both Democrats and Republicans support. You can make a difference. Talk to an AIPAC staff member or visit our website to learn more about how you can help keep Israel safe, strong, and secure.
One thing that should never, ever be negotiated is our strong support for the nation of Israel and us standing behind our friend, our ally in the Middle East. Israel, Israel, Israel. My goodness, we love talking about Israel and supporting Israel. And anytime they're in the news, we want to make sure that we are bringing to you some biblical perspective and encouragement and how you can get involved, how you can take action. Yes, we definitely want you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
And we want you to pray for wisdom for those in government, in particularly Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, to be, Steve, constantly, you know, in the scope of your enemy.
A bold voice for truth.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And to have a Prime Minister like Netanyahu kind of helps.
Oh, yes.
Kind of helps. Well, I want to direct your attention to Republican Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, who's a candidate for president, as he spoke at AIPAC recently, and he just shared his thoughts regarding, remember Operation Protective Edge happened, I believe, last summer?
2014, I believe.
Yes, 2014, where Hamas was firing rockets. I mean, we gave up. Mm-hmm. Israel gave up. Land for peace, gave the Gaza Strip away, and since that time, because, you know, the big thing right now with the BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanction movement, is to try to stop any kind of merchants, any kind of selling, any kind of buying and trading with Israel as some sort of a punishment because they don't want a two-state solution, which can't be further from the truth. The prime minister has made it plain over and over again that they are absolutely okay with a two-state solution. And they're coming to the table saying, in order for there to be two states, we're willing to break up our state so that you can have a state. We're going to give you a piece of our land. We don't have to do that, but we're willing to do that for the sake of peace. We do have a minor, you know, concession here.
Just one.
Just one. We ask that you actually recognize the state of Israel. You know,
we exist. Right.
And we have a right to be a state, of which the Palestinians have repeatedly denied wanting to even say that. And so here you are at this, you know, crossroads. Will there ever be a peace deal? Who knows? But Israel's repeatedly tried to do this. They've done this before in the past by giving away the Gaza Strip. And since they gave that piece of land away, I believe in 2005, they've been the recipients of over 10,000 rockets into their nation. Thank God for the Iron Dome. Thank God that we've been able, as a nation, the United States, partner with Israel for their security. But 10,000 rockets. And Ted Cruz is talking about how our administration, this presidency, attempted to maybe do some economic sanctions against Israel during this time. I'm going to let Ted speak for himself so you can actually hear these words. But this is what happened and the stance that he took as an elected, you know, person in the Senate that's standing up for, you know, America and standing up for Israel. Watch this.
I entirely agree with Prime Minister Netanyahu as Hamas would place rockets in elementary schools. They place their headquarters in the basement of a hospital. And I would note that Hillary Clinton, in 2014, explained this as follows, quote, Hamas puts its missiles, its rockets, in civilian areas. Part of it is because Gaza's pretty small and it's densely populated. Well, Madam Secretary, with all respect, the reason the missiles are in schools is not because Gaza is small. The reason the missiles are in schools is because Hamas are terrorist monsters using children as human shields. And in response to this atrocity, I was proud to join with New York Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand in authoring a resolution condemning Hamas's use of human shields as a war crime, and that resolution passed both houses of Congress unanimously. In the midst of these rocket attacks, we saw the Obama administration cancel civilian airline flights into the nation of Israel. When that happened, I publicly asked the question, did this administration just launch an economic boycott on the nation of Israel? The administration does not ban flights into Pakistan, does not ban flights into Yemen, does not ban flights into Afghanistan, indeed did not ban flights into much of Ukraine, and Ukraine had just seen a passenger airliner shot down by a Russian Buk missile. So why exactly was a disproportionate sanction put on Israel because one rocket fell harmlessly a mile away from Ben Gurion Airport, one of the safest airports in the world? And why was that time to coincide with John Kerry arriving in the Middle East with $47 million for Gaza that would inevitably end up with Hamas terrorists? Well, when I asked that question, within hours, the State Department was being asked, is this an economic boycott of Israel? The State Department said, that question is ridiculous. We refuse to answer. So I responded, fine, I will place a hold on every nominee to the State Department. Shortly thereafter, former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg rode a civilian airliner from London to Tel Aviv, demonstrating that it was safe to fly to Israel. And as a result of Mayor Bloomberg's efforts and my efforts and that of millions of others, the heat and light and attention became too much on this administration, and within 36 hours, the administration lifted its ban on civilian air flights to Israel.
That is so important because there's a narrative always going against Israel, but in particularly during that time, that it was unsafe to be in Israel. You know, I had a chance many years ago, almost 20 years ago, to be in Israel. And I felt extremely safe. Now, I've been in New York. Mm-hmm. I've lived in Jersey. I've been to New York City countless times. But I felt more safe in Israel than I've felt in many places. Yeah. And so to have the senator stand up and do the things that are necessary to say, listen, we will not allow you or anyone to come against Israel in any kind of way. And today, some of the most, you know, challenging attacks are not always launched, Steve, with rockets and things like that, but it's propaganda.
Right.
It's sanctions. And if they can try to cripple the economy of Israel, they will do everything in their power to do that.
And they're doing everything they can just to get people to change their overall perspective of Israel. And it's just like the words that we say are powerful. You know, the Bible says that our words are spirit. So if you think about the fact that why is like, you know, just like what you're saying, John, it's just like it matters what we say. It's just like we can't just... You know, obviously it's like, you know, it's not just military, but it matters if what we're saying is causing people to be against Israel. That matters. And it's just like we're going to be held accountable for every word that we say or don't say, especially in regards to Israel.
Yeah, I believe it was Adolf Hitler who said, if you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, people will believe it. And this is true when it comes to the many of the attacks that occur that are launched towards Israel. But I want you to see what AIPAC has put together to really help us understand the importance of the United States' financial contribution in helping keeping Israel safe. Watch this.
Israel is our closest ally in the Middle East, and for how often it's in the news, one may think it's a big country. But in reality, Israel is small, very small. While the average American commute is more than 12 miles, Israel, at its narrowest point, is only 9 miles wide. There are 152 countries larger than the Jewish state. In fact, you can fit more than 450 Israels inside the U.S., and the countries surrounding Israel are more than 2,600 times its size. This size disparity and the increasing hostility toward Israel means that the Jewish state is vulnerable and has truly unique security needs. That's where AIPAC comes in. AIPAC works with Democrats and Republicans in Congress to ensure Israel receives vital American security assistance every year. This funding helps the Jewish state defend itself. Additional aid also goes toward missile defense programs like Arrow and Iron Dome. By being involved with AIPAC, you help strengthen our relationship with Israel, bolster America's interests abroad, and ensure Israel is safe, strong, and secure.
Safe, strong, and secure. That's what we want to see, Israel. And blessed, right? But, you know, Israel, the nations that surround Israel, 2,600 times the size of Israel, and many of them, all of them, they're surrounded by their enemies, want to destroy them. I mean, Iran has publicly and openly stated that they wish they can destroy and remove Israel right off the
annihilation
map.
Of Israel.
Yeah, so anything that we can do, you know, as a church, as Americans, to stand firm, we need to stand firm and encourage our elected representatives to do everything that they can to stand for Israel. We want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com. You will find over 600 individualized posts on Israel alone when you go to the torch. Listen, you want to be educated, you want to be informed, you want to know how you can connect and support Israel, you can support VFNTV. We stand strong for Israel, and by God's grace, we'll always continue to do that. But we want to talk about FIDF.
Friends of the Israeli Defense Forces. Steve, mm-hmm. talk to us. What is this organization? What are they about and what do they do?
Well, back, I was in the military, and you might be aware of the USO.
Yes.
And it's an organization that really just blesses our military, loves on the military. I remember specifically a time when I had just gotten in the Marine Corps, was traveling for the first time. You're really not really sure what to do, where to go. And mm-hmm. I had a long layover of like 8 hours, and somebody saw that I was in the military, and they said, well, you should go to the USO. I had no idea what that was. And come to find out, they directed me where I needed to go in this large airport, never been there before. And I walk into this room, leather couches, leather seats, big screen TVs, just shelves and shelves of different DVDs that you can watch. And it's just in an area of all military guys to kind of support them, just say, hey, we love on you, refrigerators.
It's great. Do they have those in every airport?
In many of the airports, a lot of the larger ones, they have one at the Pensacola Regional Airport. But it's an organization, and even on my first deployment, when we got to Kuwait City, they were there, video games, movies, to kind of help you relax and just kind of give you that basically Americanized culture where you could. It's not always just so tense. Well, the FIDF does that same thing. A lot of times when you think of the Israeli Defense Forces, you're thinking of the military guys themselves, but the FIDF, it's a friends, it's a support organization that is there to really provide that support, to really just provide that, say, hey, we're here for you. What can we do to minimize the stress of that transition? Because transitioning from civilian life to military life is not easy.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's not just the transition, but actually while they're there serving. In fact, watch this.
There are many, when they hear the words friends of the IDF, they think military, they think guns, things that this organization is not about at all.
You know, you think of soldiers in uniforms, you know, that's a soldier. We're dealing with the person in the uniform.
Israel is the only country that really will protect her people. I'm Jewish and I have to play my part.
I decided to join the army because when you care about something, when something's important to you, you need to do your share. I live here without my family. Sometimes that makes my service a little bit more difficult. The FIDF has so many programs that arrange support for us in different ways. All of a sudden these things remind you that you're not alone and there's so many people who don't know you, but yet they care so much about you, and that's really touching.
It was the biggest presence I could get in the army, seeing my family, being with my friends again.
The concept and the idea behind the Friends of the IDF. And the concept of adopting brigade is a great expression for a Jewish solidarity.
It's sort of remarkable because I'm in college and they're fighting for their freedom.
I believe that I serve something bigger than only the Israel state. I serve the Jewish nation.
IDF, I think, is the only army in the world that has an education corps. And there's a special program that FIDF supports that helps kids on the margins re-enter society.
My family came from Ethiopia in 91. I have 5 brothers. I'm the youngest. Kibbutz Amir opened for me many doors for important jobs that I wouldn't have without it.
With starting the first year of my studies, I received a scholarship from IMPACT, which was kind of an oxygen line, which helped me go through the difficulties of being a student during this economic struggle. In the years to come, we will get our knowledge and we will get our strength with the help of the FIDF, and we will bring Israel to a better future.
Our job is to protect the state and to worry about the civilians here. And I really feel like the FIDF makes it their job to look after us.
What an amazing, amazing organization. This is their mission statement right off their website. The FIDF initiates and helps support educational, social, cultural, and recreational programs and facilitates for the young men and women of Israel's, the soldiers who defend the Jewish homeland. So it encompasses a whole lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, really interesting. Every single person who lives in Israel, young person at least, when they graduate high school, has to serve
at least two years
in the Israeli Defense Forces. So it's kind of really a neat thing to be able to protect the homeland.
Oh, there's such a powerful patriotism in Israel, and to know that the fact that every single person who lives in Israel, you know that they served their time, they have that awareness for the state of Israel, they understand the precious awareness of being able to defend the state. And it's amazing too. It's like you see in our culture now, there's that awareness of respect for our veterans, the respect for our active duty military. And it's just like, you know, that they are laying down the sacrifice. We've talked about on a previous program that someone had said, you know, these people, they put their life on hold. They stopped their education. They stopped their careers just so that we could have the freedoms that we have now.
Well, think about this. The soldiers that actually participate in IDF from Israel, that's actually mandatory. So that's one thing to have a mandatory deployment where you've got to go, almost like a draft, right?
Right.
Well, imagine what the term that they've come up with is called lone soldiers. Individuals from all around the world that decide and say, I'm going to leave my homeland, wherever I'm from, the United States or Ethiopia or England or, you know, China, and I'm going to serve. I want to serve as a soldier in Israeli Defense Force. I'm going to leave my homeland and go serve. Steve, tell us more about that and how, you know, they come about doing that.
Well, obviously, I mean we've talked about a program called Aliyah. And Aliyah is basically...
Eliyahu.
I'm sorry, Eliyahu. You've got people who are Israeli from Jewish descent all across the world. And it's basically a biblical prophecy that's coming to pass that they are transitioning and moving back to Israel. So people who are Jewish are not just living in Israel right now. Well, those people that are growing in their Jewish communities are realizing the fact that I have to defend the state of Israel. Mm-hmm. So they are leaving their state where they live now, their nation where they live now, and they're moving, transitioning out of their comfort zone to move to Israel, to move to defend.
Wow. That's amazing because, right, you have those that are coming in that are moving to Israel because they feel they want to come back.
Yeah.
But you also have... Jewish Americans and, you know, Jews from all over the world who are not even moving back to Israel, Eliyahu, but they're just coming just to do a deployment. In fact, I want you to watch a lone soldier story from the state of Texas and why he felt it was important for him to be part of IDF, Israeli Defense Forces. Watch this.
My name is Zev. I am from San Antonio, Texas. I'm a lone soldier, and I'm a sniper in the unit Oblev Golani. To be in the Golani Brigade means everything to me. I grew up in a very Zionist home. My father is Israeli, and my mom has the same values.
Zev was very passionate about Israel. When he was 8 years old, he had this little goat cart. He would ride it in the neighborhood, and he attached this huge Israeli flag.
I was 14 when I decided I wanted to move to Israel and join the IDF.
We were in Israel with our two little boys, and he called me.
And I told him, I'm going to move to Israel, and I'm going to join the army. You learn to appreciate everything in life. You learn to know that you can achieve any goal you set your mind to. I really wanted to do the best I could, the most I could, and everything I could for this country. I joined the Army and I was prepared for the things coming. I knew that there's a chance that I might have to go and fight a war. I might get hurt, and I accepted those risks, and I'm willing to take those risks for the state of Israel. During Operation Protective Edge, my team was stationed on the border of Gaza. Sean Kermedi was another Chayal Boded from Texas. We became friends through the fact that we have the same home, we have the same background.
Especially in the elite units, it's very difficult mentally, emotionally, physically. And Sean was a mentor, a big brother. Before they parted, Sean made Zev promise that no matter what, you're not going to quit.
Me and Sean were there together, waiting to go in. And he told me that he was ready to go in, that he wanted to go in, he wanted to do his part, but also not to worry, that that's our job, and we'll be back before we know it. One night, someone came up to me and told me the news about my friend. I think it was the biggest shock for me that I've ever experienced. Because not many people at my age can really understand how it feels to lose a friend. Two years ago, I joined an FIDF mission here in Israel. I accompanied my grandmother, my father, and myself, three generations of my family.
I see what the role that Friends of the IDF plays in my grandson's life.
Knowing that I have so many supporters in my hometown of Texas, it means a great deal to me and to all of us lone soldiers serving Israel in the IDF.
What a blessing. Listen, we can do something, you know? In life, you can't do everything, but there comes a moment in your life where you say, I can do something, and the little bit that I can do, I want to do it. And what a great opportunity for anyone to have to stand with Israel in your lifetime. And what a great, great organization. AIPAC, Israeli Defense, Friends of Israeli Defense Forces, KUFI, so many organizations. And if you've been watching VFN TV, we just recently spoke about an amazing organization that actually raised and donated $8.5 million to the Israeli soldiers because they need help too. Mm-hmm. You know, once they've served their 2 years, because of the economic situation really around the world, but it's also affecting Israel, they need help and assistance. And to know that that money was collected from all around, I mean, that's beautiful. It's beautiful because no matter what, listen, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Which brings us to the gala that FIDF just held or had in New York City, where they begin to share more about what they do and how they get people to partner with them. In fact, watch this.
Shalom, toda rabah.
Wow, what an incredible moment we are sharing together. A sold-out house, more than 1,200 strong.
It is the most beautiful, most looked-forward affair each year, and it's so I am so thankful.
Day and night, 24-7, 365 days a year, the young men and women of the IDF are protecting our freedom. They give the best years of their lives to keep Israel safe. And they deserve our utmost respect.
Dr. Miriam and Sheldon Adelson serve on the front lines as world-leading philanthropists.
The most important thing is to help as much as we can to these brave young men and women.
They're supporting us and they're keeping a worldwide Jewish family together.
You, dear friends, are an inseparable part of the people of Israel and of the Israel Defense Forces. I salute you, and on behalf of the State of Israel, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Shai was critically wounded in the collapse of a tunnel in Gaza.
My injury left me paralyzed.
The FIDF has given myself and my congregation and many others the opportunity to participate in the Lone Soldier Program.
I might be called a lone soldier, but tonight I see all the people, I'm with my friends and my FIDF family. Thank you.
Since the IMPACT program was established, FIDF has helped over 10,500 men and women of the IDF continue their education.
It shows how many people care.
It's amazing. I didn't expect nothing like it.
I'm all the other way from my house, like the, on the other side of the globe, and it's amazing how I feel welcome and warm inside.
Good evening, Liz. Good evening, everyone in New York. We are now at the brand new Trauma Simulation Center, which is one of the most advanced facilities on its kind in the world. The construction of this facility was made possible thanks to FIDF's generosity.
I think the IDF and this organization, what it does, is absolutely amazing.
That little girl, who had grown up to be a strong and giving fighter, committed to her fellow soldiers and her country. Tamar loved Eretz Israel and the IDF.
You can really feel the hug and the love that you're getting from here.
My name is Ashley, and I am a friend of the IDF.
My name is Johanna Chavez, and I am a friend of the IDF.
My name is Michael, and I'm friends of the IDF.
My name is Dr. Ruth K. Westheimer, and I'm a tall friend of the IDF.
Wow. Well, we're friends of the IDF. We are friends here at VFN TV of Israel. We encourage you to be friends of Israel, too. But you know, all these wonderful organizations, CUFI, Christians mm-hmm. United for Israel, FIDF, right? You also have an organization called Volunteers for Israel. And these volunteers actually go to Israel to support the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, with all sorts of meals, right. I believe, and all yeah. kinds of things. But what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, Steve. Amazing.
Yeah, to me, it's just powerful. It's just like if you're... So often you're wondering, is there anything I can do? Is there something I can do? And the answer is yes. There are so many resources. You know, we'll have more information to you for on the torch. And it's just like to getting that perspective of understanding the fact of someone is laying down their life, learning a whole new language just to stand in the gap for an entirely different country.
Amazing. Don't forget to go to VFNTV.com, search the torch. You can, in our advanced search, put in the word Israel, and you will see many right. posts, many segments, and get yourself educated and informed, and don't forget to share them with your friend.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.